Good morning, James Reed. Everyone feeling joyful this morning?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. Let me say that again. Good morning, James Reed. All right. I'm going to ask that you will allow me to speak to you in a language that you are unaccustomed to. It's a language that was taught to me by a friend of mine while I was incarcerated in Green Bay Correctional Institution. And it's Lingala from the Central Congo. So I greet you this morning with Tia Nzambele Boso, Zanakati Mualamu Esprit. In translation, it means put the creator first and be in good spirits. So I welcome you to be in good spirits this morning. Our reflection this morning comes from a poetic reading that I came across some time ago, attributed to Saratoga Ocean. And it reads as follows. You, again, you have a powerful, beautiful, healing light within you. It is a perfect light of divine love and cannot be touched by negativity. Negativity evaporates in its presence. Instead of trying to figure everything out, connect with this beautiful light and watch your soul fill with peace. My sharing with you, the theme for this morning is seeing the light and how it enables us to have a vision of being our whole selves. How the light connects us to a power source that sets a path for us to engage the world around us with a sense of hope and of duty. Let me share a bit of what we commonly refer to as the backstory, or as I prefer to say, the reality of my experiences. I was born and raised in a city, Saginaw, Michigan, just 100 miles north of Detroit. It was considered at the time a thriving, quote, Negro, unquote, community, vastly supported by the auto industry. Most of the residents were of middle-class status with a tinge of economic security, faith-based, and education-oriented. On the other end of the spectrum was the illegal economy, gambling, drugs, prostitution, and the like. Today, Saginaw is what I refer to as a community of confinement, where the latter description yet dominates. Saginaw is where I was originally introduced to the criminal legal system at 9 years of age. It's a little tot. Yeah, it was on a warm summer day, and having a few dollars, I was accompanied by my stepdad to a Kmart shopping center to purchase a Mother's Day card. A Mother's Day card, a card, you know, a son would want to have for his mother. And as we proceeded to the checkout, my then stepdad proceeded to say to me, put it in your pocket, which I proceeded to do. Exiting the store, I was grabbed by the store security and led to a small office and excoriated, believe me. Called a thief, amongst other expletives, while my stepdad assured the officer that I would be punished to the degree that I'd never steal again. And that was for certain. I could not and did not know back then that going to purchase a Mother's Day card would lead to my being the Moses organizer in a way that informs my personal interest in being here. One of the major aspects of organizer training is to explore one's reasons for taking on the task and responsibility for being an organizer. Why are you willing to invest time and energy into a profession that comes with a significant sacrifice that is as time costly, both personally and professionally, informed upon your personal life experiences? Continuing as an adult, I found myself emulating the behaviors of those within my immediate environment in Saginaw, which eventually led to my being incarcerated in the Wisconsin prison system for close to 30 years. As strange as it may seem, it was in that environment where I began to connect from within and experience light. From the sublime to the profane. Ironically, while dwelling in the midst of darkness, it is a very dark place. My faith practices at that time provided me with a sense of being that extended beyond the social, familial, and political labeling that defined my being and my existence. From a socio-political point of view, I can recall sitting in my grandparents' living room, watching the protests for civil rights on their RCA Victor televisions. I know some of you remember those. Seeing the marches, the water hoses, dogs, and the white policemen leading people who looked like me into the back of their police vans and led off to jail. Within my family environment, I began to isolate. Fear had been deeply instilled in me. I didn't possess the language to be able to share how insignificant and invisible I was feeling. While imprisoned, a reading from the Christian Bible in Luke chapter 17, verses 19 through 11 says this. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." They were cleansed. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Do we understand what a Samaritan and who the Samaritans were? Considered the untouchables of the time? "And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said to him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole.'" Therein began my journey, a journey to become a spiritually whole person. It began a process of illumination, an internal awakening that abides with me to this day. There also came a time where there were a number of occasions when the sights, sounds, and smells that permeate the prison environment became overwhelming. The cacophony of noise, the humidity that causes the concrete walls and floors to sweat. The sounds of metal doors slamming against metal, and the horrific pleas of those suffering from a mental health crisis being unattended to. It was the scene of the light, literally and figuratively, that provided me the opportunity to heal, to confront and manage the negativity surrounding me, to stop trying to figure it all out and allow the light to fill my soul with peace. Now, as an artist, I work with a variety of mediums, oils, acrylics, pastels, and watercolors. Each of them possesses a unique quality. And I'm often in awe of the light and its colorful prisms, its ability to shift and create a myriad of emotions upon a blank slate or canvas. Internally, the light within, I believe, provides us with the ability to reflect and engage in self-discovery. Why and how we become present in our world with intentionality of purpose or not. The painting that I'm sharing here with you today is a representation of my struggles to understand the narrative of Christ and his sacrifice for, quote, mankind, unquote. It's entitled Jesus Christ. And that is to counter the perhaps subconscious belief that God was and or is the progenitor of gender inequality in our world, even to this day. There's an intentionality of purpose here. There's a message of inclusivity that we all matter, that we all have a purpose, irregardless of how the world may deem us and separate us based upon our gender and how we affirm in the world that we live in. Now I'm going to shift because I want to shift to the intentionality of purpose and why I am a member and organizer for Moses. Because again, it is the light in this regard for me that represents mission and vision, and building of collective power to dismantle the systems of mass incarceration and mass supervision, and to eradicate the racial disparities in our community that contribute to them. The transitioning, the internal light and the external, connects with Moses as I carry out my vision, our vision, in each of the tasks that I take on behalf of the organization and the community that I love and believe in. Building that collective power, Moses' values aligns with that light that fills my soul and gives me peace, human dignity, compassion, justice, inclusion, credibility and hope are the hallmarks that we seek to establish for the benefit of all. Post-incarceration, Moses provided me my first opportunity for employment as its events coordinator. And Wisdom, our statewide affiliate, gave me the opportunity to attend its week-long organizers training in 2013. That training, along with my six-year tenure at the Madison Area Urban Ministries, or MUM, now Just Dane, assisting men and women in my role as a peer support specialist and trainer, prepared me professionally, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, to accept the challenges before us as we collectively strive to change a system that, contrary to popular belief, is not broken, but intentionally was and is designed to benefit from human suffering, excluding not even our children. From its inception, this organization, Moses, has sought and taken on the task, calling, and mission to shine light upon many of the injustices that exist in our culture, in our society, and I dare say in our world today. Our local, state, and national leadership has used political propaganda and language and the language of discord and otherness to make us in many ways invisible to one another, meaning that we cannot see one another's or each other's suffering. And yet, I look around this room and I say, here we are, gathered together, representing the human family, empowered by the light of consciousness, hope, and duty, to speak truth to power, stating emphatically that all people deserve to be treated with dignity, in spite of, again, in spite of our imperfections. That all life has value and purpose, and that there is a sacredness that comes from forgiveness. Moses, its congregational membership, is a conglomerate of faiths coming together to illuminate, bring light to those experiences that sometimes seem insurmountable, those challenges that life can visit upon us. One of the example is the Ban the Box initiative. And that initiative requires the city and county and or county employers to consider a job applicant's qualifications versus his or her felony convictions when bringing forth a denial of employment. Our organizations, James Reed being one of them, brings hope, brings love, compassion by our presence. Simply our presence at some point, and our voices of advocacy to legal systems change. We are in a place and time where we are called to be vigilant and protectors of the light. Our politics, economic, and social well-being are being challenged in ways I'm sure many of us are experiencing for the first time in our lives. Mass incarceration, miseducation, homelessness, hunger and war, death and destruction can, if we allow it, overshadow the light in our midst. But I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. And my reason for hope in that light is represented this morning by the presence of each and every one of you. Your little light Let it shine. Coming forth. We're coming forth as James, Reeve, and Moses, and as a beacon of light. A path of connectedness. Connectedness to show that there is indeed a beautiful light, a healing light within us, a divine light that we share so that others too can see and experience their souls being filled with peace and with justice. I want to take just another quick moment here and to say that, again, we have many challenges before us. But there is a power within us, there is a strength within us that allows us to not merely be in a position of overcoming. Because sometimes in our ability and in our quest to understand, there are things we must overstand and reflect upon. And in so doing, we become more than survivors. We become conquerors. And so I merely ask that you take some time to reflect upon your inner light and let us together conquer. Let us conquer and let us shed light upon one another and the world that we inhabit together. So I want to thank you again for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. Please, you get the opportunity, wave at the sun. Thank you.